Well, that's just a beautiful thing to see a group of people who really what we all only have in common is the fact that Jesus died for us and we love Jesus and we're here to celebrate Jesus, because I'm sure if we looked at it too much, we would find a whole lot more differences amongst ourselves than we would similarities. And that's what we're here to talk about today, to celebrate, in fact, are those differences, not to minimize them, not to shy away from them, but to celebrate the fact that God made us all different. He gave us all different gifts and how that all fits together. And so we're in our sermon series, Fruit, It Does a Body Good. And Pastor John, the last 2 weeks, has been just laying down some solid foundational truths about what this fruit is. And then last week really got us going with recognizing that love conquers, love trumps all of the others. That if anything is done without love, then it might as well not have been done in the first place, because it's meaningless. In the words of the author of Ecclesiastes, that is meaningless when we do things without love. And so today, we want to take a moment to focus on the body part of that. So we're going to be continuing to explain the fruit, but we want to take a minute to explain the body. What body are we talking about specifically? And does anybody remember, I don't know how many years ago it was now, a couple years ago, there was a huge event on national television where a self-proclaimed king was going to announce which basketball team he was going to play on. Anyone remember that? Raise your hands high. It was called The Decision, right? LeBron James, the king, was going to share with the rest of the world what team he would decide to join. And I didn't even watch it because I really could care less what team LeBron James plays on. But apparently he thought enough people did that ESPN broadcasted an hour-long special. Anyway, he chooses the Miami Heat. And in addition, Miami Heat grabs a couple other players. And they're supposed to be the team of teams. No one's ever going to beat this team. And they were joking about how many championships they were going to win. I think Dwayne Wade said, well, maybe we'll stop at 12. Anyone remember the result of that first season? Did they win a championship? No, it was a disastrous season. It was disastrous. They actually, at one point, were like the laughing stock of the NBA. How can you have all of this talent on one team and fail to win games? Well, we don't even have to pick on the Miami Heat. We could pick on our own Philadelphia Eagles. Because a couple years ago, they got the dream team defense that Vince Young goes out and says, oh, we're going to be the best defense ever. We're going to be unstoppable. And that defense continued to get ripped apart for 400, 500-yard games. On paper, we got the best all-star players. We had the best cornerbacks in the league, but they couldn't play. So what does that all have to do about this? Is the fact that just because you have good people in a room doesn't necessarily mean that good things are going to happen. And we need to look deeper than that. And I believe that's what Paul was getting at when he wrote a lot of these words to the church in Corinth. Hey, yeah, you guys are good and you got gifts, but there's a lot of other problems going on that we need to address, or else all those gifts, all that skill, all that talent is going to go to waste. And instead of being the glory of Christ, you're going to be a laughingstock to those around us. So that's what we're here to talk about today. So let's open up our Bibles. If you have your Bible, please join me in 1 Corinthians 12. It's 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to let the Bible speak for itself here and just read verses 12 to 27, and you can grab your sermon outline at the same time if you desire to follow along and take notes. And so here's what Paul pens in 1 Corinthians 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, what would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Father God, we are astounded at these verses and what they say, Lord, and how you desire us to be as a part of your body. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide this time as we look to see what this scripture is saying to us as the body at Finland, and pray that you would guide us into all truths for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we want to do today is we want to start large and work our way small, because I believe Paul does the same thing here. And what's going on here, you can kind of pick up on it, but what's going on here is the church in Corinth is having a little bit of an issue with gifts. And the issue is, some are saying and looking at others that they're inferior or lesser of Christians because they don't have as good of a gift. And so people are wanting and desiring these more presentable, visible gifts because they think that it's more important. And so Paul is addressing this and absolutely saying that is not the case at all. And so what is he saying? And so again, we're going to start large. So first of all, the first thing we see from this scripture is that the body of Christ is all the churches together. The body of Christ is all the churches together. That's why once in a while you hear people talk and they'll reference the church. And sometimes, if they're talking about Finland, they'll just be meaning Finland. But other times, they're meaning kind of Christ's global body, this body of believers all around the world. And so it's a good thing to ask them, well, what are you speaking of, the church, or are you speaking about the body that meets at Finland? Because the body of Christ encompasses all the believers in all of the world. It's all the churches together. Finland is a visible expression of Christ's invisible body. And we see this picture at the bottom up here. And that's a good representation. It wasn't exactly what I was hoping to find. I was hoping to find little church buildings that would look like the head of Jesus, but couldn't find that anywhere. So this works, though. You see, that's a face of Jesus, but if you look up close, it's all separate faces of individuals that, when shaped in a different way from the eye, sees the head of Jesus with his crown of thorns on it. And so that's what we need to think of when we think of the body of Christ. The body is not just Finland. It's also Perky Omanville Mennonite down the street. It's also the Catholic Church down that street. And there's an Orthodox Church over in Souderton. And all of us make up the body of Christ. And what we want to see here is verse 24 says very specifically, in the NIV it says combined, but God has combined the members. The ESV would say body is composed by God. The body is composed by God. And so that means something very special to us as a church body. First and foremost, it means that the churches around us that I just talked about, the ones down the street, the ones on the other side of the world, the ones who worship a little bit different than us, the ones who don't necessarily agree with the same theology that we would say as Mennonites, they were composed by God to be a part of his body. So they are not enemies. They are not competitors. They are our allies. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's important because all too often, perhaps not at the congregation level, but all too often we hear like, oh, well, we don't want to mingle with those Christians because they're a little different, or we don't want to go to that church because, well, what if some of our people start going there? As if finding a way to honor and come closer to Christ is a bad thing. And so we need to recognize that. First and foremost, we are a part of a greater body. A greater body. And so before we get to the questions to ponder, I want to ask, what's the role of church then? If we're a part of this thing called the body of Christ, and we play a role in it, well, what is that to do? Well, first, it's to continue Jesus' mission. And we read through the Gospels, we see Jesus was here for a specific purpose. He was on a mission. He was focused on that. And that mission was to announce the kingdom. If you notice in Matthew, everywhere he goes, the kingdom is near, the kingdom is at hand. Proclaim the kingdom and tell others the good news. That was Jesus' mission. Tell the good news, proclaim the kingdom. And so as a body at Finland, we join in that mission. That's what it means to follow Christ. What are we doing specifically to announce the kingdom? What are we doing specifically to tell others the good news? But it's not just continuing his mission, it's to extend his ministry. The two go together. You know, everywhere he goes, he's announcing the kingdom. He's talking about salvation, but it doesn't stop there. There's a ministry that he's interested in providing. He's out not just telling, but he's out doing. And some of the things that are doing, he's feeding the hungry, right? We see that everywhere. He feeds the hungry. He protects the powerless. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. Do we believe that that spirit that enabled him to do that is alive and present at Finland? And if so, then that should be compelling us to be feeding the hungry and protecting the powerless. Giving shelter to the homeless, being out and healing the sick and raising the dead. Those two go hand in hand. If we're continuing his mission, then we have to be extending his ministry. Thank you, sound team. And we're going to put that as part of the sermon later because that fits really well. So we can just say it now. So in Paul's day, right, they were battling over which gift is more important. In this moment, which gift do you think would have been more important to the body of Finland? Some techies who can fix a sound issue or speaking in tongues so people think you're more holy? Right? So that was a perfect demonstration. The Spirit is moving and he is with us. Because all gifts are needed. But so back to this. Continuing Jesus' mission, extending Jesus' ministry. The question to ponder is, what part of the body is Finland? If we're composed into Jesus' global body, and it's very specific that he says, well, the body has an eye and an arm and an ear and a nose and all these other parts, what part is Finland playing in that? Are we focused on doing that as best as we can? See, because there's a, I don't want to say it's common, but I hear enough, not only at Finland, but other places, and you visit a church and you see something that they do really well, and all of a sudden it's, we need to do this at Finland because the church down the street does it and they do it really well. I heard some of my friends were talking about a church in the area that has a really good ministry for the divorced people. And so they were set that I have to do this at my church. And so my question to them was, why? Well, because they do it, and it's obviously a need, and this and that. And I said, well, what do you have at your church that would enable you to do that? Well, not nothing, but I have energy and passion. And I was like, why don't you just send the people to their ministry? If it's as good as you say it is and as powerful as it is, what's the harm in, like, there's a book called Good to Great. It's a business book. Anyone ever read it or heard of it? It's a really good read, but it's all about how the best companies are the best because they are incredibly focused on actually what they do good at. And they don't even consider what they might be marginally good at or possibly good at. No, they stay focused on what it is that they do best, and they do what they do best very well. And so What I would recommend, instead of looking around and saying what this church does, what that church does, and we need to mimic all of this, is to say, what are our gifts that we can leverage as we serve with these other churches? So maybe they'll hear about what's going on at Finland, and it'll be a ministry that some of their people will be able to participate in and be healed with and be drawn closer to Christ with. Because God has blessed us with a lot of gifts. I mean, we can look around, and it's obvious that we have been blessed with gifts. We have been blessed with fruit. And so let's look at leveraging those gifts that we have in our body right now to how we can best glorify God as we work amongst these other churches in our area, as we work to proclaim the kingdom, as we work to extend Jesus' ministry. So that's the first part. That's the bigger part. So that's where we belong in the global church. And yes, we do belong and we do have a part to play. And it's exciting to see how it's going to all kind of take shape. For example, we have a strong acclamation for food, right? Everyone here likes to eat. We like to cook. We like to sit around food. And so there's discussions now, and I don't know, I'm not going to say too much, but there's discussions that what would it look like if on Thanksgiving Day we go to an area that's impoverished and poor, and we set up a place and we serve turkey in the poor community and invite them to participate in this wonderful fellowship that we have as Christians around this food that we enjoy. Bam, that's a great idea. That's using our gifts. We're good cooks. We like to be around each other. People feel comfortable and accepted and warm when they walk into this building. And so how can we do that as a way to proclaim the kingdom? And I think that that's a wonderful idea that is supposedly happening this year. So listen more later on for those details. But so that's the body of Christ and how we fit it. But it's more than that, because we are a single entity. Now, I'm not going to diminish that. It's a both and, not an either or. So if the body of Christ is all church members together, or all churches together, well, then the church is all the members together. Is all the members together. And what we see in these verses here is that gifts are given to members. Gifts are given to members for the blessing of others. All right, so members are given gifts to bless others, and we're going to talk a little about who those others are. And members are arranged by God. They're arranged by God. So we see God is very intimately involved, not only in the body of Christ, which he's composing. Now each individual entity is being arranged by God. So look around. Nobody's here by accident. Nobody's here by accident. You are here to serve and to fellowship at Finland because at some point God arranged it that you would be a part of this body for a certain period of time, whatever that time is. And so when members are given gifts, they're to be blessings of others. So think of a tree. We're talking about fruit. When tree bears a fruit, who eats the fruit? That's not rhetorical. Who eats the fruit? People, animals. Does the tree eat the fruit? No. Who benefits from the fruit? Yeah, animals, things. What happens if the fruit isn't taken? What happens if animals don't eat the fruit off of an apple tree or a peach tree? It rots, drops off. And if that's not bad enough, so that's pretty bad, right? God's given us gifts, and if we don't pass it on, we can see the fruit, it just kind of rots. But there's an even deeper, more insidious thing that happens in that there's still a seed inside that fruit. And so over too much period of time, what would end up happening is those seeds would begin to sprout themselves. And now they're going to strangle out the life of that healthy tree. Because it's going to start to grow and they're going to start fighting for nutrients in that ground. They'll start to rot the roots out. And so that tree, if it continually produces fruit that is never shared, will actually end up dying itself. And so we have been given gifts that God intends us to use to bless to others. Now, if you see, there's a handout. Should have been in your whatever those things are called, bulletin. And I want to bring your attention to this right now. This is a very important piece of paper. And the front side, I don't know if it's, I think it's the front. The front side, the nice glossy side. We want you to be part of our family. One body, many parts. Where can I get involved? We know that you have a lot of gifts. We also know that sometimes it's difficult maybe to want to share that or to say you want to get involved. And so what we are hoping from this form, and we might even take like 2 minutes just to look at it now, look it over and you have a part on the back, a name, just start checking off things that interest you, things that you feel you have gifts in and for. And what we are asking you to do is at the end of the service then, I will stand at the doorway at the end and I'll just take these from you, and then we'll hand these off to our gifts discernment team. And then it's a way that we can get more people involved in the body, because we want these gifts to be shared. We want these gifts to be utilized, not only in ourselves, but in a way that encourages, which we'll get to in a little bit, encourages us to use them as we go as well. But it starts with this. It starts with us knowing what your desires and interests are. So take a minute and look that over. And I guess I'll just keep, no reason for me to be silent. I usually don't mind silence, but it's somewhat strange when you're under light. Our gifts and our talents, they need to be encouraged amongst each other. When we look at somebody's gifts, and this is a word that Pastor John has really challenged me with lately, is that opportunity. We need to dream of the opportunity. So we have some young guys who like to skateboard. Wow, what an opportunity they could have if they use that skateboarding as a way to get to know different people and share with them the love of Christ. We have other people, myself included, who like paintball. Wow, what would that look like if a bunch of people who are sold out to following Jesus began playing paintball and inviting people outside the church to participate and just to experience what that's like? So we want to encourage this. We want to celebrate our gifts. Now, unfortunately, all too often we see gifts that maybe not aren't ours or we don't appreciate. And so we're going to see some wisdom from Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head up here as to what sometimes happens when we don't look at other people's gifts as opportunities. We see them as annoyances. And
slow down. What's that hurry? You're driving like a maniac. Ignore me. This wind is messing up my hair. Oh, don't give me that look. Watch the road. Great. Now look what you've done. I told you not to drive so.
For drivers who want to get the most.
All right, so sometimes we fall into that category, right? Mr. Potato Head just driving maybe a little bit faster than he needs, but he's driving and he's using his skills of driving fast and enjoying the hair, at which Mrs. Potato Head is just getting annoyed at his gift of wanting to drive fast. And so she's using her gift of talking, which is not being appreciated by Mr. Potato Head, so he's being annoyed by her gift. And yeah, it's, I love that. That was the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and, you know, what, if not for the Super Bowl, what would we show in church? But it brings a good point into our minds, is that all too often, we ourselves fall guilty of that. We're in the moment, instead of praising God for the wonderful gifts and the diverse gifts that he's given to a body as a way to bring him praise and glory, instead, we find ourselves just being annoyed by it. But if we can get past that, we'll see that the role of members is to care for each other and to compel each other. To care for each other and to compel each other. And this was very, you know, in verse 26 here, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we need to care for and compel each other. But it's only possible if we're open and honest, and that when we come to church, we come as ourselves. See, all too often, I think that's a better description of what goes on when we get dressed for church. So we got this lady up there, and she's pondering, which face am I going to put on today? I got my clothing on, I look good, but so which face am I going to walk into that door with? And this is this grieves me, grieves, I believe, the Holy Spirit. Now just imagine what it would look like if when we come to church one Sunday, all of us take off every mask that we have and we just really come as ourselves. How things going this week? Well, it was a hard week. Not the, hey, things are good, life is good, everything's grand, God is good, I love God. And that's great, God is good and we do love God. But he doesn't want us to come to church and putting on these, having our most important decision the morning of be which mask we're going to put on for the day. We can only be the church. And we talk about being the light to the community. We're not being a light to the community if we're seen as a bunch of people who are afraid to really be ourselves and expose what's actually going on the inside so that God can actually work through us to bring healing to each other. And it reminds me, again, a time ago when we were at the Post High doing a Bible study, and it was Ronnie Janton, and she goes, we're reading through the book of Acts, and she goes, why doesn't the Spirit do anything like this anymore? Like, why don't we see this anymore? Why isn't the Spirit bringing all kinds of healing and people falling before God? And why not? And I can't help but believe that the reason why is because we're more interested in putting a mask on than we are at actually allowing the Spirit to do what he wants to do amongst us. And so we have a thing coming up on October 30th. It's called Take Your Mask Off Party. And it's the fifth Wednesday. And fifth Wednesdays, usually a Wednesday night is a club night where the junior high goes one way, the MYF goes another way, the Boys and Girls Club goes another way, and parents go a different way. Well, what we want to do on these fifth Wednesdays is bring everybody together. And the focus of this first one is going to be exactly this. Let's take our masks off together as a church. Let's truly step out in faith to the Spirit and allow him to do what he wants to do in and amongst us. And so we're going to do different things. There's going to be a little devotional. There's going to be an activity called Walk the Line. And that, I believe, could be one of the most powerful things we ever experience as a faith family together. Because in that, we are going to be exposing and being vulnerable, but in a safe environment surrounded by people who are brought together by what Pastor John reminded us last week, which is the love of Christ. Agape love. The never-ending, always-present love that enabled him to go to a cross for us. And now we as a faith family wanting to believe that love so strongly that we're going to do this activity together. And when we do that, I believe that we will finally know and experience what Paul's talking about in verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Notice there's a lot of ones in that. One body, one Spirit, one drink. And when you have your masks off, we can experience that in real ways. And so I would encourage everyone to come to that, invite your friends to that. You know, sometimes I hear from people who aren't Christians, well, you guys are just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, and maybe, but I think all people are. But, wow, why don't you come and experience this event? and see what it looks like when people come together to be who they are, to worship Christ. And so we're going to take a moment today to celebrate this unity and to remind ourselves of this unity that's given to us through Christ. It comes from him and the price that he paid as we celebrate our communion together. And we're going to do things a little bit differently today. Typically, the elders would come forward, we'd pass it out, and everyone would get an individual little cup and an individual piece of bread, and you sit in your individual seat, and you have an individual moment with God. And there's a place for that. There really is, but it just seemed rather ironic on a day where we're going to talk about unity and togetherness that we would not change things up a little bit for communion. And so today, we have tables stationed in the two sides of the front, and there's one in the back. And what we're going to find is there are pieces of bread. And you'll come up and we'll grab a piece of bread off of our tray. And there's a bowl of juice. And so we're going to pick up the bread to symbolize us taking from one body, being a part of this one body, and we're going to dip into one bowl together. And then once your bread gets dipped into the juice, then you can feel free to partake of it in your mouth and then go back to your spot. And we're going to have a video going with music playing up front to kind of set the mood. And what we're asking is, we're not just going to go down and dismiss Rose. You know, take a moment and soak this up, what it means to be one loaf and many pieces. What it means that as we partake in this, it's our way of joining that one body. And so let the Spirit speak to you. And when you're ready to participate in this, then either come forward or go to the back, whichever makes most sense to you. But as the Spirit moves you, come and participate in this. And for the sake of this, all who would claim to follow Christ are allowed to join us this morning and participate in this and participate in the body here at Finland. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, today we not only remember you and what you did for us on the cross and in your death and resurrection, Lord, and the way that you yourself told your early disciples that this bread is now the new covenant through me, and this blood is now a new covenant through me, Lord. And so we eagerly participate with you into that covenant, Lord. And we pray that as we focus on this today, Lord, that your Spirit would remind us of the one body that we are joining, and that your Spirit would bring a unity and a presence here that is just brand new and full of life and full of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He was